Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Join Justin Townsend and the Harvesting Nature crew as they explore the world of cooking wild fish and game while sharing recipes, tips, tricks, and lessons learned from their pursuit of wild food. We sure hope you ate before the show, because you're going to leave hungry. This is the Wild Fish and Game Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Harvesting Nature's Wild Fish and Game Podcast. You got your host here, Justin Townsend, and pleased to announce that tonight, for your listening pleasure, we are recording a crew chat, but not just any crew chat. Crew chat with probably the finest five people Harvesting Nature has to offer. And today, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're not going to talk as much about wild game cooking or wild fish eating, but instead we're going to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that is backpacking food. And it's near and dear to my heart because I eat it when I'm outside and don't have anything else. So not sure where I was going with that, but like we said in our last episode, podcast is just a big tangent, so I decided to go on one and see where it's going to take us. But in all seriousness, we do are going to be talking about backpacking food because I think it's pretty vital to extending your time in the field. And really important, there's a lot of variety out there. We've got some favorites, we've got some not favorites, we've got some good conversation points, I think, coming up. But I'll give you a quick update about myself. Got some waterfowl plans this weekend, followed on next weekend by the beginning of Wyoming antelope and elk. So after that, it's just kind of all Colorado focused, I think, for a little while, but we'll see what's on the horizon. Anyway, I will turn it over to Colin for some updates.
Hey, everybody. This is Colin. Last week, I went on a pheasant hunt in, I guess you could call it like west central Oregon. ODFW, they use pen-raised pheasants and then release them. And it's like $17 for two rooster pheasant tags. All in all, it was a good time. Went out there with a buddy of mine from work and his two kids and his chocolate lab, who he's trying to train up to be a retriever slash versatile hunting dog. Found some really cool mushrooms. You can see them on our Instagram post, fly agaric. They were all over the place. Cannot eat them. Do not eat them, please. In fact, don't eat any mushroom. You're not 100% positive of what it is. We saw that during our...
Is the fly agaric, is that the red and white looking one?
So there's a red and white phase, and there's a yellow and white phase, and these were the yellow and white ones. I guess they can kind of turn reddish. It's like a yellowish red, but they're not necessarily poisonous, but they'll make you see some interesting stuff, and probably not the greatest stuff you want to do while you're walking around with a semi-auto shotgun. So... yeah, anyway, they were really cool. The first time I've seen them in the wild. Found a little deadhead, little button buck deadhead. Took that home. That's now sitting as part of a bookend. And actually got a pheasant, too. So about 6 hours into our 8-hour day. and we had been walking through fields, blackberry bushes, thorns, everything all day, and finally we were just walking the roads, and there just happens to be a pheasant right on the side of the road. Walked pretty much right up to it within 15 yards, blasted it. Friend's dog came over, shook it to death, and that was that. And there was another one about 200 yards down the road, and he pretty much just walked straight down the middle of the road and shot that one. So we both came away with one pheasant. Pretty happy with it, especially considering my tag soup from the ODFW workshop a few weeks earlier. So I was pleased with it. It was a good day. All in all, it was about 10 miles of walking in this little tiny area. Yeah, a lot of fun. And then just today, I was on a hike and found some meadow mushrooms and did a little bit of examination, again, making sure I was 100% positive. I knew what they were. They are, in fact, meadow mushrooms, which are choice edible, and I'm very excited to eat them.
Nice. You want to tell everybody else what else you did today? What other important thing that you ordered?
Oh, I ordered the newest Harvesting Nature shirt design, Eat More Invasive Species. It was a design of my own, not creation. You drew it up, but my own idea. It has Eat More Invasive Species on the front, and then in a ring around it, it has five different invasive species that we've talked about pretty extensively on the show here. It's got a feral hog, it's got a Eurasian collared dove, a nutria, an iguana, and a lionfish. And then on the back it says, reduce your carbon hoofprint. Which actually, we could trace that back to, you know, that was us, but it was with Jesse Griffiths, right? He was.
Yep, Jesse Griffiths. We're going to have to send him a shirt just to say thank you.
Yeah, and a couple stickers and a poster and stuff. There are stickers and posters available, so. Yeah.
But the stickers and posters are different than the shirt, because they're actually like, I took a little playoff, you know, the posted no hunting signs, or like the notice, like informational signs. We put that as the theme of the sticker, but then in the yellow box of the sign, it's got like Eat More Invasive Species, and it says by order of Harvesting Nature, reduce your carbon hoofprint. So, fun stuff. All right, Colin, anything else?
No, I've got nothing else. Looking forward to this talk.
Ben, over to you.
What are we doing? Just what I've been doing? I haven't been doing anything. I've just been working a little bit, getting readjusted to society.
Yeah.
I was out for a while, so
yep.
It's getting pretty weird. But
Ben, what was the final day tally that you were away without sleeping in your own bed?
I think it was 18 days.
Yeah, that's a long time.
17 or 18. Yeah, it was good.
So, and you had like a 2-day, you had like a 2-day break, right?
Yeah, I was out for 5 days, and then a 2-day break, and then 5 more days, and a 2-day break, and then, or maybe more like 3.5 days. It was a little longer, and then it was like 17 days.
So I'm gonna go ahead and ask this, and we're gonna talk about it later. But Colin asked earlier, like, what was the caffeine goo you were talking about on our last episode? That's episode 410, Elk Make the Plans.
It's just that goo stuff, GU energy gel or whatever.
Mm.
And then there's Cliff makes some that are like gummies that I like too. I don't know, just to change up the, you know, whatever. Just to not eat the exact same thing every single day. But
I feel like, Ben, you're definitely like the king of backcountry snack food.
Yeah, I got it dialed. I got it really dialed.
I definitely, I bummed snacks off of you once, I think, once or twice that our last trip. And you're like, your bag of snacks, I think it just like, it's like Santa's bag. It just keeps pulling like treats out of
it. Yeah. That's what I got. I'm always the food guy. I'm always like, anybody who hangs out with me knows like, you don't have to worry. You're not going to be hungry. Like, I'm not, I've never been the kind of guy who's like, oh, I forgot to eat lunch. I'm like, just eat constantly.
All right. Well, those are some great updates. So go over to Ryan.
Oh, and I'm going out. Sorry. I'm going out bear hunting, and my friend Joel is going to be there, and he's going to be doing bear blacktail.
Nice.
That's this weekend. And then next weekend, am I doing something? No, just this weekend. But
nice.
I got a little lull. Nothing. Blacktail Archery opens up the 20th again of November, so I got like a lot of waiting.
I was scoping out Black Bear tags, so they have. I think I've looked at two opportunities now for over the counter Black Bear tags, in addition to the Archery Black Bear tag that I held and didn't fill. But I think I found a good zone to go for rifle, and then I'm going to pick up one. I don't know the success rate of it, Colin, but while we're out on the plains, they do have a plains bear tag. It's like a C tag, which means it's not very good. But I figure, like, if I go out with, like, 18 tags in my pocket, I'll probably not shoot anything, but hopefully.
Hopefully. Aside from the bear hunt that we did, where we were, I mean, it was pretty much the only thing we could go for, but bear has always kind of been like a target of opportunity, you can call it. Like, if I'm out elk or deer hunting and I see a bear, then it's, you know, then it's there. But
speaking of bear hunts, I'm gonna go over to Ryan and Emily.
What? It was your hunt, it wasn't mine. You talked about it.
Oh, hey guys, Ryan and Emily.
Oh, hey. Welcome back.
Thank you. I don't think we've both been on since the Bear Hunt podcast.
No.
Lot going on. We've kicked off Whitetail Archery here. And Arkansas Bear. I went and hunted Arkansas Bear for about 8 days unsuccessfully. That tag soup was delicious. Had two bears coming in every night. They just never came out during the day, so I camped very near them. Just never happened. So, and then came back and went straight into our archery whitetail season. So we've got two so far.
Nice.
Lots of filming been going on. We released the twice smoked venison potato video today. That's out.
Is it cheesy?
It is so cheesy. You should watch it.
And then we're going to Wyoming next week for doe antelope.
Yes. Yeah.
We got about six days left. Yeah, 6 days. We're headed to Wyoming for 5 days, essentially, for two, hopefully, antelope does. We have tags in our pockets, so I've been kind of ramping up to that, first time up there doing that. So kind of a learning curve, getting used to the landowner situation and all the public land that's locked behind private land that you can't get to.
Oh, man. And the school land? Ugh.
Yeah, the school land. Yeah, it's been a learning curve, but it's been fun. Lots of e-scouting and just getting ready, finding places to stay or camp and stuff. So, yeah, we've been insanely busy.
I tell you, I've told you this before, but what I love about antelope is, like, any slice of public land that they can be on, whether it's, like, a half mile by a half mile, like, piece of land is just, like, it's money, and they can be on there at any moment. And the first antelope I shot was literally, people probably drove by this place all day long, never even thought about it. It was off the side of the road. It was a hill. And we're like, let's go take a look at this hill. It was probably 500 yards wide, and it went back like 3/4 of a mile. But we went up to the top of the hill, got on top, came down on the other side, and there was a bowl. And in this bowl was a herd of a dozen antelope. And AJ and I shot our first two antelope off that. Like, you would never have thought. But it just took that little bitty slice.
Yeah, we got excited. We found, got some intel on some public land. We booked an Airbnb really close to it, got all excited, and then got even more intel of a landowner that actually has some on his property, knows of kind of where an existing herd is, but it's like an hour from the Airbnb that we've already booked. But we kept it anyways, just in case we get down there and it's not what it turns out to be. We can always spin around and go somewhere else. So I think we've got plan A, B, and C. We got some tertiary plans behind the tertiary plans. So I think we'll be okay.
I like it. And hopefully you guys wrap up early and come like high five me in Denver and grab dinner or do something.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Because on the way up there, we're going to pass through your neck of the woods at about 1 a.m. So figured you would.
Oh, I'll probably be awake. That's prime time, prime working time for me.
Yeah. But on the way back through, hopefully we'll get it done early and be able to stop in.
Yeah, it'd be great. We'll be going up just a few days after you guys are departing, but we're going to be a little south of you, and then we're like I mentioned earlier, dual for Antelope, kind of our standard Antelope spot, which is like the Antelope trip for me is like a good freezer filler. I'm not going to like say it's a guarantee every time, but we've kind of got it dialed in, and then we're doing that elk cow hunt follow on to that. We've been to the land before. It's state land, but we heard elk bugling in the vicinity of last year, but I've never... There are other people there hunting elk at the same time we were hunting mule deer last year, so I feel like it's probably a good sign. They were local to the little town, so we're going to go back there and try. But definitely not as intense as the hunt with Ben. We're like motel staying every night, which is you know, going to be good. My bones need a break still. But yeah, other than that, let's roll into some backpacking food, I think. Well, first I want to say two things. We already talked about the shirt. So we got a new shirt, new stickers, new poster. It's the first poster I think we've ever put out, but I thought it was a cool sign, so I put it out on the website. Those are up in the store. Definitely, you know, we support eating invasive species, so that's kind of a given. So rock those with pride. I'll give a shout out to Jesse Griffith and Scott Laceth for helping like motivate and plant those seeds in our head for definitely eating more invasives, because you're always doing your part. So outside of that, make sure you're checking out our cooking classes. We're still rolling heavy with the cooking classes this month. We've got lined up actually the day that this is going to release, you're going to have a class by Adam Berkelmans where he's going to teach you how to make a maple whiskey duck pate. So cool thing about all of our recipes that we teach in the Harvest and Nature Supper Club is that you can substitute whatever game you have on hand generally, and then also use some domestic meats if you like. Like, it's a cool thing just to experience the class. Save that for later, because once you buy the class, you get access to the on-demand video forever, so you can go back and play it, you know, after your next waterfowl hunt or your next deer hunt where you got a nice heart that you want to cook. Like, we have all those resources there. I'm teaching a stock class, how to make a nice smoky roasted bone stock. That'll be good. I'm going to walk you through about half the process, and then the other half of like just the stock cooking itself. You don't need me for that part, so we'll do that. And then Jeff Benda's teaching wild game pot stickers or dumplings, whatever you want to call them, teaching how to make those, and that's set up to basically use like any ground meat, period. So you can use pork, you can use beef, you can use venison, you can use ground black bear, like whatever. But those would be good. That's our lineup for the rest of this month. We'll definitely have more next month and the next month and the next month. So we'll keep rolling with those. Those are fun.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Let me toss this out there, and anybody can take a swing at it. Why carry food in the field at all? Why not just go out there and just hunt, not eat, just do it and go home?
I get hangry.
Yes.
People need food. I'm going to go with that one. That's what I was making fun of you about this question.
Well, it takes one of the unknowns away, right? It gives you a constant that, I mean, at the end of the day, and we'll get into it, but you're going to pack probably your favorite thing. At the end of the day, you know, no matter what happens that day, you're going to be able to sit down at some point and refuel and enjoy some
coffee. Right, Ben? Yeah. In the exact moment that you should be enjoying coffee.
Yeah.
Not over it.
What?
I said I'm not over it. That's okay.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, during the bear hunt, every time that Justin prepped to make coffee, we ended up seeing a bear on that last day.
Well, this was opposite. I don't want to go into it.
Okay.
This was, we have an elk bugling. We have an elk bugling for literally 4 hours, and then we're finally like in its zone, and Justin's like, I need to make coffee right now. And I'm like, can we go for it? Like, can we?
All right.
Get a little,
to be like, fair, no.
But anyway,
I took my coffee with me on the rest of the trail. So
he skipped coffee in the morning, for I don't know.
Because we heard it. We heard an elk bugle. And you're,
but like I had my coffee, so I was like, you want to have coffee? He's like, no. I'll wait till we get there.
We got there.
We're about to make a shot. I got it.
Which now is going to be like, whenever somebody else says that to me, I'm like, you're going to make that coffee right now. You're going to drink it. And then we're going to go.
You're going to make it.
But that's like okay.
It.
You're going to make it now.
I think I'm just going okay. I'm just gonna switch to the gels now.
Forget it. Yeah.
But I'm only going to eat them at convenient times to me. Loudly. Anyway, yeah, so I think food extends your time in the field is kind of where I was going with that. Also, yeah, I think all you guys hit the nail on the head with that one. But so thinking about extending your time in the field, like what do you think is the basics? Like, what do you really want? Is it a want versus a need? And is there like a time period that you say like, all right, I'm going to be out X many hours or X amount of time, and I think I want to bring more than just like a bag of peanuts.
Unless I'm like whitetail hunting, I pretty much have a day's worth of food on me at all times, and then it's just, there's no like, oh, I'm starving and now I'm surrounded by elk or whatever, you know, and it's like, well, I'm going back to the truck, you know, I don't know. But like I said, I'm
somebody who's
like constantly eating.
Why is whitetail
constantly hungry?
Why is whitetail hunting different?
Because it's shorter, you know, like most of the time, like when I was living on the East Coast, there was a lot of times where I would go out for, you know, in the evening, and it's getting later in the fall, so it'd be dark, you know, at, I think by the end of the season, it's dark by like 5:30 or whatever. So it's like, you know, just not as important to have a ton of food, but always have something.
Take snacks though.
Yeah, always snacks. Always got snacks.
Nice. What do you think, Colin?
Yeah, I mean, you need to have food. I think some people go out there. There's two things I was thinking of when you asked that. Some people go out there with this wild expectation that maybe they'll find their own food, which I think is a little naive.
That's a horrible idea.
I think they're going to be like outdoorsmen and they're going to go shoot squirrels and like find berries and stuff. It's not going to happen. And then the other thing,
unless you're really legit.
Yeah, unless you're like, sorry, legit, I'll legit. Which I'm not. So, and then the other thing I was thinking of is something that Remy Warren has said before, where for some reason people go out backcountry hunting, they always want to try like these like new diets, and they'll go out with like, you know, straight up health food or whatever, or like health bars or something. And I definitely agree with his point on that. It's like, you don't need to change up your diet. Like he said, he does the Snickers bar stuff. Like, he'll just go out there because sometimes when you're really pushing yourself, you don't always want to eat like, you know, whatever kind of health food you might have on with you. Sometimes you just want to eat something that you know is good, and a Snickers bar is good and has the calories and stuff that you need to keep moving. So that's kind of the other half of that. But yeah, I mean, everybody needs food. You need to bring food with you. I think you guys said it in episode 410 that your food and water is going to make up the bulk of your weight for what's in your pack.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like you can adjust as much as you want to, like, tents and sleeping bags and, you know, all the other things. Insert whatever piece of ultralight camping gear. But, like, when it boils down to food, like, you have to have some sort of food weight. And I think unless you're planning to, like, return to the truck or, you know, return back and resupply at some point, like, you have to carry enough for however much time you think you're going to be out. It just makes logical sense to me.
I think you just hit it right on the head there, Justin. Like, we always start with, that's the first question we ask is, what type of hunt is this, right? Is this, are we packing in or are we coming back every day? Like, when I was bear hunting in Arkansas last week, I knew it was a long hike in, but I knew at the end of the day, just because it would get dark early, I was hiking back to the truck and sleeping in a tent right behind the truck. So I had an entire cooler full of anything I could possibly have wanted. And, you know, all the creature comforts of home, right? So I think that's a big question, is what type of hunt is it? And that's where we always start. We even ask that stuff before we even get to the food, like, because that judges everything from your food to your pack plan to all that stuff. So,
yep. Yeah, and I think as we changed our hunting style for antelope, this is the first thing that comes to mind, is we used to, going on in my first year's antelope, probably like 5 years ago, we'd go out in the morning, we'd take a break in the mid-afternoon, then we'd come back out in the evening. It was like your traditional, like, whitetail hunt, you know, where you were sort of just capitalizing on the beginning and end of the day. Well, we learned later, if you stay out in the field longer, antelope continue to move throughout the day continuously. So now it's like, now on an antelope hunt, I generally will make oatmeal or have a Cliff Bar in the hotel room. Then I'm taking a snack for mid-morning, a Mountain House for lunch, a snack for mid-afternoon, and then with the plans of not coming back till dark and just staying out in the field all day. Granted, I'm probably at any given moment within 2 to 3 miles of the vehicle and within, you know, a 20-30 minute drive to where our hotel or a small town or a gas station or whatever to get food. But I can maximize my time in the field during the day by just throwing a Mountain House and my Jet Boil in my small backpack. Like, it's pretty straightforward, I think. But yeah. So, let's dive into a little bit on about the food stuff, because I know everybody's got a couple little things to chat about here. So, when we think about backpacking food, you definitely think about, like, either freeze-dried or dehydrated foods. There is a subtle difference in looking at it. Like, water retention is probably one of the biggest things. That's about it. And you deal with weight and other things like that. But, like, the common person's probably not going to have access to a freeze-dried, a freeze-dryer, I guess is what they're formally called in the commercial world.
They're very expensive. There's not very many of them available.
No. Yeah, but a dehydrator, like, we've got some, we're going to talk about a couple of recipes here of, like, a couple different takes on backpacking food and, like, field food, we can classify it as, and you get dehydrated. And generally, the majority of people, if you make beef jerky, you have a dehydrator, so you can expand that in some ways with some creativity to make some dehydrated food. But what comes to mind when I tell you backpacking food? Ben, what do you think?
Most of it, I was kind of thinking about what Colin was saying earlier. Like, you got to try to eat as close to how you would eat in person. Mm-hmm. But then, like, normally when you're not in the field. But then, I don't know. A lot of it is just not good. Like, it's just not good. At this point, I feel like I've been joking that I feel like I've came full circle where I used to just eat, like, when I was, like, doing this and had no money, ramen noodles and instant mashed, and then just, like, pass out, you know, and that cost, like, 40 cents a meal, and we'd have, like, one day where we'd have Mountain House, you know, because it was like all I could afford on like a 2-week trip. And but now it's like I've tried a lot of them and most of them are just not good. Like they're, you eat it and you're like, yeah, that was not an enjoyable meal for the most part.
We're gonna come back to your top three, so be thinking about that. But I don't know, Colin, what do you think when somebody's like, hey man, I'm gonna go pick up some backpacking food, what comes to mind?
Mountain House is probably the first one that comes to mind, and I mean, again, I'm not gonna rip on any of them because they all have good qualities. But
Mountain House, a very House diplomatic is, response.
Yeah. You working for Mountain House now? You part of the freeze dried food lobby?
I actually have an announcement. No, actually, so at my local Costco, they have like giant boxes of Mountain House that you can get. I can get like a box of like 60 packs of them for whatever the Costco price is. So they're affordable. They're everywhere. They're affordable. They're like one of the go-to ones. I'd say the level of number of options that you get with Mountain House is pretty good. I mean, I think each time I get a new box, there's like maybe two or three of the same menu, but there's spread over like 10 different meals. I think that's pretty good, but that's like generally what first comes to mind. But then, on our bear hunt, I mean, I got to try a bunch of different ones that all of you guys got to bring along. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what comes to mind first is, you know, like the packaged stuff, the dehydrated food. I always grew up with granola and M&Ms and like mixed nuts. Like we just called it, I think it was called GORP. I forget what the acronym stands for. I think it's like good old reliable peanuts or something. But it's just literally a gallon Ziploc bag full of this stuff, and it'll keep you going forever.
It was like trail mix?
It's like homemade trail mix, yeah. It's granola, like Quaker granola, and then the Planters mixed nuts, and then like a big bag of M&Ms. Not peanut M&Ms, just straight up M&Ms.
So fun fact, if you just Google GORP, the first thing that pops up is trail mix. So
yeah,
really?
So that's what it is, yeah. I don't know why we called it GORP. I don't know. Maybe it was a brand issue.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like our go-to hiking food whenever we did.
Oh, hikes good old good old raisins and peanuts.
Oh yeah,
that's so what it stands for.
The Oxford English Dictionary. The Oxford English Dictionary typed a 1913 reference to the verb GORP, meaning to eat greedily. I'm not making this up.
See, I'm a Webster man through and through, so I don't accept that definition. But that's like the other half of camping food that comes to mind. But the problem is that it's heavy.
So. Wait, I found one. It says so. There's a 1960s Boy Scout newsletter that claims GORP stands for granola, oatmeal, raisins, and peanuts.
That works too.
We grew up backpacking in Colorado, and we always just brought trail mix and beef jerky when we went. I mean, ooh. It obviously wasn't like super long treks that we did, and if it was, then we would pack tuna fish sandwiches with us.
That's a good backpacking food.
People love those little pouches.
I don't know her.
But this is like tuna fish out of the can, like not in a package, like pre-made.
Yes.
I actually wrote down straight up tuna as something that comes to mind.
Yeah, no, I think Ben's right, though. People like
air everywhere. We couldn't figure out why.
I used to take those on deployments, and I cannot eat those ever again because we would eat them for like days straight. For some reason, we just didn't want to eat Navy ship food. But who knows why. But we would just eat tuna packs, and they were disgusting. So I can't eat them.
And they got really creative and started making like really horrible flavors of them.
Yeah, like they all taste the same. Lemon pepper tastes exactly the same as like whatever garlic and herb. Yeah, they're all the same.
I hear your opinion, I hate tuna. And I disagree.
I can't eat them anymore.
I hate tuna. I can't eat it.
Yep. The hickory Wait. Smoked? Oh.
So hickory exactly smoked tuna?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Dude, it's bomb.
It's pretty good.
You're missing out.
Pretty good. But yeah, I would agree. Beef jerky, trail mix.
Protein bars, Clif bars.
Clif bars, yep.
We didn't start getting into the freeze-dried meals until we started doing longer hunts away from our area.
Yep. You can live long time with Clif bars.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't think I had a backpacking meal till I was like out in San Diego, probably like 10 years ago. And then that kind of the introduction of the jet boil, like, changed my hunting forever. Ben's seen it. I still have the beat up. The original jet boil I bought 10
Yours
years
looks
ago.
Good.
The one you had to
Yours
light
looks
with a match.
Good, man.
Yeah.
I have one of those too.
Well, no, it has the striker. The striker won't work though.
Oh, I have one of these. And, like, I don't know if it's like original ones or whatever, but it doesn't have a striker. You have to light it with a match. I took that one out one time and didn't realize it didn't have a striker, and so I was sitting there eating cold Mountain House. It sucked.
It's legit.
Yeah.
This is a complaint, and I'll wage my complaint against the jet boil on this. If you can't buy a starter to replace it, which is just like a little piece that pops in and the wire and the button, you have to buy the whole base, which I don't know.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's it. It's like $60. Like, I paid probably $100 for that thing back 10 years ago. Like, I'm still trying to get my money out of it. But,
you got another 6 years to go.
Right? Still. One more Mountain House. That's all I need. All right, let's talk about some differences, right? So differences, we've all kind of identified backpacking food in our mind through the evolution of our introduction into the outdoor world, be it beef jerky, be it gorp, be it oatmeal, be it whatever. We've all kind of like, now we live in this space that's occupied by dehydrated and freeze-dried meals and packaged snacks. But the real question we're here to answer, folks, lean close to your speaker. Are all backpacking foods created equal?
No.
We all know that there's one brand that reigns supreme.
Gosh.
The MRE.
The Dove Popper.
Oh. They'll outlast all of us.
Yeah.
But no. So let's toss this up for conversation. I'm not going to reach out to each one of you individually. What are we looking at when we're looking for quality, quantity, ingredients? Like, Colin, you had a good breakdown of kind of what you looked at.
Yeah. I kind of broke it down into three categories, with kind of a fourth as being not as big of a deal, but still kind of a deal. And those are price, the quality, the number of like menu options, flavor options, and then the amount of space it takes up too. Space
order?
What
is that priority order?
No, it's just the categories to match it up against. You can switch them around. And I like gave them like a rating out of 10. Granted, I haven't had every single one, but just in like basic research before the show, I looked up some of the stuff about it.
Ooh.
So it's not like ranked in order or anything. But space and weight goes into that too. But one of the, I mean, price is definitely a factor. You know, if you're buying $5 meals versus $15 meals, I mean, if you can, one of them you can buy three of per the price of one. So, you know, it definitely goes into effect with what kind of quality. And generally with any product, the higher price, you're going to get higher quality generally.
But, I'm like really curious, like the space part, I find it really interesting that you put an ad in there, because I think a lot of them are almost packaged the same?
There are two brands that I'm thinking of that are different in space. One of them is actually the MRE. I wasn't joking about that. That one takes up a considerable amount of space.
But it also provides like 5 times the amount of calories of any other meal.
Agreed. That's why you can field strip them and eat them over several days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say with some of the stuff, not with all the stuff that's in it. But yeah, you're more or less correct. And then the other one is Patagonia. So Patagonia doesn't have... They have some, like, soups and stuff and chilies that are actually phenomenal, and I'll touch on them maybe later. But some of the stuff, like their salmon, is just, like, a fillet of salmon that's already cooked that you can eat straight out of the bag. But, again, it's very heavy, and it takes up a pretty decent amount of space for the amount of food that it is. So that's kind of what I was thinking.
I don't think I've seen those. The Patagonia... Oh, yeah.
Patagonian provisions. First of all,
like at REI, that kind of stores.
Yeah, you go on
those kind of stores.
You go on the Patagonian website, REI. They have them. They have sustainably farmed mussels that are in little cans. Like, do you get like canned mussels or canned clams?
Oh,
stuff in the
yeah.
store, which are really good. And then they have the soups and chilies that come in like dehydrated food packages. And then they have salmon, which is usually in a kind of like an olive oil marinade in a bag, and you can eat that straight out of the bag. You don't even have to heat it up. It's already cooked.
See to me, like, those things seem like very boutique. That makes sense.
Bougie? I mean, a little bit. Yeah, a little bougie. They're more expensive than other stuff, but again, Patagonia is a company with a long history of supporting sustainable environmental causes.
What do they run on average for entree?
So I'm looking at this right now. A package of 2 wild pink salmons from Patagonia is $14.
That doesn't seem terrible.
No, it's not terrible. You know, but compared to some other ones that are like maybe $6 or $7, you know, it can make a big difference for some people.
Yeah, they were a little pricey. I've looked at them. I think like calorie to price wise, they're definitely up there. But I mean, it's Patagonia, Patagucci,
yeah.
Yeah, I think
ever listened to Yvon Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia? Ever listened to him on podcasts? He's been on BHAs.
Yeah,
he's been on Meat Eater. He's been on a bunch of other ones. Yeah, he's a pretty interesting guy.
Oh yeah, total character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You forget he's literally a billionaire. Like,
yeah.
Started rock climbing in the Eastern Sierras, I think. Like, it was
yeah.
his jam.
Rock
but
yeah, it just was like, all this gear is trash. I have to make my own.
Yeah.
Because you're all morons. Like, and then
yeah.
just...
My I think my dad still has one of the original, like, pre-Patagonia Chouinard backpacks that he still uses from like the 80s or something. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Quality stuff. Anyway,
all right.
I'm not here to plug
yeah.
Patagonia.
Yeah.
It's the Patagonia lobbyist in the group.
He was like, I don't want to talk anything bad about Mountain House, but Patagonia is what you need.
Yeah.
I'm a Patagonia rep.
Just trying to keep you all guessing.
If you go down to the show notes, you can see the code COLIN2021 for 20% off all your Patagonia orders. No, but that's like the high spectrum. I think you hit both of them. You hit the MRE. I don't even know where the MRE falls in the world of backpacking.
MREs are about $10 a pop.
Yeah. But if we're looking at like caloric to dollar value, like it's still much higher than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I
don't know. Ryan, thoughts on MREs?
Like,
man, I could honestly, I have lived on them for extended periods of time. I had them for 97 days in a row. It was my longest stretch with them. Nothing but MREs.
That's a lot of jalapeno cheese.
No, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of bargaining going on. jalapeno cheese and the mac and cheese as a substitute is fantastic.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to say that I'm not burnt out on them. I could still eat them just because I've had to before, and they're a good backup. We still have a case of MREs that are quote unquote field stripped, where you take them out of the box and you only take out the necessities that you want, and take a piece of electrical tape and rip it around it, and then you're not dealing with the giant package anymore. But I still have several of those ready to go. I keep them in my work car on my adult job, and you know, if I need to eat something, it's a handy on the side of the road in the middle of the night, or if someone's dire need of food, it's a good thing to give away to them. So I keep them around. I don't hate on them too bad.
I still have a case. I think it's been hanging around since Hurricane Katrina, but I can neither confirm nor deny that because I haven't opened the box since then.
Oh, it's still good.
Yeah. But so where we fall? All right. So what are you thinking? MRE above or below Patagonia?
Oh man! In terms of what, quality or price?
Let's say overall. I'm just gonna start tossing some out there, and we'll just like. I want to see your reactions.
Can you make a Tabasco bomb out of a Patagonia meal?
Can you make a milkshake in your mouth with a Patagonia? No, you cannot.
Can you do the cracker challenge with a Patagonia meal? A lot of unanswered questions here.
Yeah.
So,
I'd say if I was going to go into the backcountry, I would take an MRE over Patagonia meals.
Ooh.
I would agree because it's a known for me, right? I know what I can get by with. I can make that. Yeah. I can make one MRE last an entire day. So
there's another factor also is that the heating element in an MRE. You don't need like sterile water, so you can find a stream or whatever. You can pee in that thing, and you can activate the heating element to heat up your food.
All you need is a rock or something,
right? Literally, all the directions.
Rock or something.
A rock or something. I mean, they must have had the Marines in mind when they made the directions for this thing.
I promise you, they did.
But yeah, that's all you need for it. Whereas for any of these other dehydrated foods, you need like generally clean water. And you know, I wouldn't like, go to any random puddle or stream and just you know blindly put water into it. So I'd say I'd have to take an MRE with me.
All right, what's another brand? Somebody shout one out.
Peak Refuel. All
right.
That's the one I'm all about right now. Kind of in line with eating how you normally eat. It's all just ingredients, like normal ingredients. There's not like a ton of chemicals or anything. There's not a ton of sodium in them. They're definitely a little pricier, but they're like $13 at a bigger store and like $16 at a smaller one. The cheapest I saw them was at Sportsman's Warehouse in Utah. I think they're a Utah company, but they were like $10 there. But they are so good. Like, oh my god, they're so good. Did you have?
You guys did a review video, right?
I did. I did I did Wild Zora. I did Mountain House, and I did Peak Refuel, and I did the.
Which one did you
do? The chili one.
See, that's the only one I didn't. It just doesn't look good. Like, you can't make chili mac.
You just take noodles and you take something that's called meat and you just take chili powder and you dump it on top and you add water and that's what it was.
I didn't try that. I would call chili mac in any of these, like, that's a risk. Any freeze-dried meal
chili mac
that says chili mac, I just avoid it.
Mac is by far the best MRE flavor.
I've never had an MRE, so I don't know.
Here.
But
missing out.
But like the one, it was just like so delightful. They have like a sausage crumble, biscuits and gravy, and it comes with two whole buttermilk biscuits inside. Whole buttermilk, and I opened it up and was like, oh my god!
I would like to try.
It was so good.
Line.
I tried that too.
Pretty
yeah,
good.
Super good. Yeah, really good.
Wait,
they're all. I guess.
Hold on. Wait, what's that one?
Chad Mendez, what is he? UFC fighter and a hunter.
Yeah, he owns Fins
yeah,
and Feathers.
Yeah, no, I know who Chad Mendez is, but yeah, what's the name of the?
It's
he has like let me see.
Three of them, right, and one of them's like a bison. One's venison or elk.
Yeah, there's bison, ranch mashers. I had the venison country casserole, which was super good. Super good.
Hmm.
The only I think I wouldn't complain about it because I feel like when I'm eating these things, I'm doing a ton of miles and I like a big meal at night. I don't know if I was out in the summer, like I don't want to have a venison country casserole when it's like 90 degrees. Like, and a lot of them are heavy, but in a good way. And then there was a coconut chicken curry. Awesome. Like, tasted like something you'd order at a restaurant. Like, you'd be like, if you got it at a restaurant, you'd be like, this is pretty good, you know? which I liked. But I like those the best right now.
I thought about giving them a second chance, but...
You should. Don't get chili mac. Oh, and I've had the granola. The strawberry granola, too, is awesome. It's really good.
Ooh.
But I feel like that's an easy one.
I feel like you guys should do a review part two.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, actually.
But I definitely think, like, what I do, I just do a mix. Like, I kind of have, like, at least one favorite in every brand. And then some are just, like, cheap. Like, I can't spend $14 on all these when I'm out, like, literally 40 days a year. You know, like, there's a... Oh, I got the Alpine Air.
I was about to say, what was the risotto one?
I think that was Alpine Air.
Don't put rice in a bag and call it risotto.
That's what that was. Let me see if I could figure out. But that's kind of like what Colin was saying too, with like what Remy Warren was saying. Like, you want to like kind of, you don't want to just try like totally random stuff that you would never eat. And there's some meals that are just like, you're just asking to be let down. Like, I remember picking it out in the store and be like, ooh, that was good. And then, like, as soon as I opened it up, I was like, of course this is going to be terrible. It's not going to be risotto. It's freeze-dried. And it was, like, $7.
I went off my norm when I was out with Ben, and I bought a bunch of the, what was it, Backpackers Pantry? Is that what I bought?
Oh, that's what the risotto was. It was
I bought Backpackers Pantry.
I'm looking at it right now.
Which... I'll give them credit. The Colorado company, like, most of it was good. I think a little heavy on pepper.
I'd put them in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
As far as freeze dried.
They're the only one I think that I got through, like, halfway through the meal. And I was like, I don't need to finish the rest of this. Like, I could just do one serving. I'm okay. Like, not because I was full, just I was like, I had a pork pad thai. I like pad thai. Like, I think a lot of people can agree they like pad thai. I was like, bah, okay, I think I don't need to finish the entire bag. Like, I could have fed that one to the bears or the elk.
I had, when I went to Montana with my dad, we bought a whole bunch, and there was like a red flags everywhere. There was a company that was like marked down because they were defunct, right? And I'm like, oh, this is great. They're like organic, you know, just like all those kind of boxes or whatever. They were the saddest looking freeze-dried meals I've ever seen, and they tasted like dog food. Just like every single one was just like slightly flavored. It looked like dog food. It was like they were the only ones that I was like, we can't eat these. Like, I don't know what we need to get more because these are just so bad.
Purina's human line.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like it. Like, they got whatever the Purina, you know, factory left on the floor and then discounted it and put it in a bag.
I'll toss one out there, and this is one that I will send you $5 if you've heard of it. Gastronome.
Bless you.
I think I have heard of that, only because you've told me about it before, but
yeah,
that doesn't
yeah.
really count.
So Gastronome, they were up at the BHA Rendezvous. They only have, let's see, I'm on their website now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they got chicken curry, sausage rigatoni, chicken pozole, braised chicken, and mushroom ragu farfalle. I probably didn't say that right, but they only have like five flavors. Montana base. I had their sausage rigatoni. Really, really, really good. You guys know I'm a fan of Mountain House. I would rank this above Mountain House.
I just still hands down everything that we went through. And I did a bunch of research, but like Wild Zora, I know that it's not a very well-known company either. It's actually based in Loveland, Colorado. And
well, that's in my neck of the woods.
It is in your neck of the woods. It is actually pretty high calorie for a single serving. Like a Mountain House meal for a single serving is around 310. These are around like 400 or 500. Like they have a Bedrock beef chili that is like 540 calories, lower sodium, just all, you know, whole ingredients. And the protein in them is really high. It's about the highest protein that I found.
How's the fiber?
Oh yeah,
yeah. How was the fiber?
I would say the breakfast has a lot of fiber in it.
Fiber content in some of these meals is absolutely something we should talk about, because I did like there are some that are insane with the fiber, and I think that will mess you up more than the sodium. You know, like there was a couple that I bought last year that were like some rice, organic rice bowl, whatever, and there was no meat in them. So I was like, oh, cool. They were like a little bit cheaper. And they were like, they destroyed the one, they just destroyed my stomach for like days, which is like not what you want.
Emily had to cut that hair short that one day because she had a fiber issue.
Yeah, exactly. So like I feel like everyone's looking at the sodium, like everyone's always like, oh, there's so much sodium. You really need to be looking at the fiber, because like you'll
didn't cut it short.
How much I want to see.
So like
do they have their nutritional facts on their website? Let's see.
Yes,
I will say that in the meantime, while Justin's looking that up, I forget which flavor it was, but you guys let me try one of the Wild Zora ones during the bear hunt, and that was fantastic. I want to say it was like some kind of curry or something, but...
Yeah, wow, we did have a couple of curry ones, and they were really good.
Wow, Caldera chicken curry?
Maybe. I think it was one of the AIP. And that's another thing with this Wild Zora. She does paleo and AIP, which is good, I think.
What's AIP?
What's AIP?
Autoimmune protocol.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
So, like, if you have a bad autoimmune disorder, there's a lot of stuff that you can't eat or shouldn't eat.
Ooh, 10 grams of fiber in the chicken caldera.
Yeah, it was good. It tasted delicious. I didn't feel like it was overly salty.
No, because it's not like Mountain House and it has lower sodium.
Yeah. I kind of factored the sodium content into the quality of things that I rated.
I understand that sodium is important in the field, but I figure you can add that. I don't want that 1,000 calories in my food.
The Butte.
I do.
Butte cacao. Butte cacao banana. Yeah. Has 14 grams of fiber in it. That's 57% of your daily recommended value.
No, dude, the ones that I'm talking about, and I should have wrote them down. They had what I don't remember the grams, but it was like 160% of your daily value in one meal. No, don't do it.
Don't fall for it.
It might have been, now that I'm thinking of it, it's like, I think I blocked a lot of it out, but it was something like Cuban banana, rice, and beans or something. I don't know.
Oh, that sounds good, though. That's
pretty good. It, no. Traumatized. Cuban, I don't even know. Yeah, but it was bad. Really bad.
All right. That's top three. Let's do it. Whoever. Go ahead.
You want to
Well, wait.
I want to just mention there's like the middle of the road ones.
Yes.
There's like some gems in there. Like I don't know why the Alpine Air Forever Mac and Cheese. It's like $5. It's probably one of the cheapest ones, and it's just good. It's just like low quality mac and cheese, but it hits the spot every once in a while.
Yeah, I had.
And for $5.
I had Alpine Air listed, and I wanted to see if anybody had had it yet, and I haven't.
Yeah, I've eaten a bunch of them. It's probably, I don't know, a little. I think it had an enchilada one. They're not great. They're like filler in my kind of like kit or whatever you want to call it. Like, I'll buy a few of those because they're so cheap.
Forever young mac and cheese.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, like, if you look at the ingredient, like, if you look at all the other criteria that we were just talking about, it's terrible. But it's just tastes good. It's
why
just
is
like,
it forever young?
Forever
young. I don't know.
Because
it's
mac and cheese.
It's just mac and cheese. I think there's, like, peas and carrots in there. That's it. They're good middle of the road. I was going to say that I would put the good to go in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I don't know good to go.
They try to be bougie and it just doesn't work. But they're like made, I'm looking at the packaging, it's like made in Maine and they have like all these different options.
Well,
and
anything's good.
Blah 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 blah.
Exactly. I have had the, you know what they sell the
You've
good
seen
they
the
sell the good to go at the exchange here.
I had a Thai chicken curry good to go a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
It was pretty good. I was pleased with it. It wasn't too expensive, not too salty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm coming to find that curries are like a safe, they're pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
Like they are all pretty good. Like they, you know what I mean? Whatever brand you're like.
You think the opposite, that you're going to be
exactly.
spending the whole day like squatting over a rock or something. But yeah.
Oh, and I'd never get spicy ones. I don't know why. Like, you don't want spicy. I had a couple that were like so spicy, and I was like, why would I want this? Like, why would, like, I have to climb down 1,000 feet to get water, and I'm gonna drink like 4 liters of water while I'm eating this horrible, insanely spicy meal. Like, that's a terrible idea. I don't know. Like,
oh, Ben, no. Maybe this one's it. Maybe this one's it. So this is the good to go. It is the Cuban rice bowl.
That could be it.
It's got
how much fiber is in there?
19 grams, 68% of your daily value.
And that's for one serving, right?
No, that's for the whole bag.
Nah, it was worse than that.
But this is black beans, plantain, rice with garlic crema sauce.
Oh, man. Maybe that wasn't it. I don't know. One of them was well... I've had several that were well over 100, and I did it twice, and I'll never do it again.
Was the second time just a test?
Well, yeah. Like, I was like... I got a bunch of these. Maybe it was just a one-time thing. Maybe I was a little sick.
No,
and I was like... Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, nah, it was definitely you. Yeah.
All right, let's do a quick. So we middle of the road. I put Mountain House middle of the road. I'm just gonna say it.
Well, it's like probably still, available. It actually tastes good, yeah. Even though I don't like the ingredients list. But yeah, and yeah, that's middle of the road.
The lasagna is good.
Stroganoff. I'm a beef stroganoff guy. Like, oh, that one's so good.
And an underrated package of theirs is the granola and blueberries breakfast.
Nope.
No, you don't like it?
No.
Oh man.
No.
So it's not underrated. It's
it is under. No, it's shit. Sorry.
Just broke Justin.
Beep. Sorry.
Justin just got Tourette's just now.
Yeah. No, not a fan at all.
Really? Oh man, I'm a huge
fan. When you come here, you can have all the one that I've collected inside my food bin that I refuse to eat.
I'll take them home when I come out there in November.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't need hot water for it. You just pour in cold water for it. You don't need to heat anything up. It's delicious. It's a good, like, you know, breakfast grains to get those carbs going.
One thing I wanted to add, and it's something to consider, there's a company. Oh, I'm going to pull it up because they're like in Kickstarter status too. Oh no, what was it called? But basically they do shakes that are like dinner replacements. So it's just add water. They're a little lighter. And then I don't know if I can handle it because I like having a warm cup of coffee and warm food at night. But then you wouldn't have to carry a stove at all. which is something to consider if you're trying to.
It would be good for save, a short, like, anyway. A short quick hunt, you know, like a day hunt or something.
They're like 800 plus calorie shakes that are designed to be like a full meal replacement. I can't find them, of course. I heard one guy on one podcast just like, was like, yep, just drink coffee cold and just left it at home and never went back.
I mean, I can appreciate drinking coffee cold, like, sometimes, but...
Yeah, when it's, like, miserable, though, in the morning, and you're like, ugh.
No, I want, like, a nice warm cup of coffee, but it's, like, hot, like, I could drink, like, what would be a pseudo-iced coffee.
No, I'd rather chew on the coffee beans.
You could do that, too. I mean, they have those chocolate-covered coffee beans. Oh, man. All right. What's the oddest thing you've ever seen anybody take in the backcountry for food?
Tuna fish sandwich.
This one... So I went with a friend of mine with this dude who basically guided us for free. Zumwalt Guiding on Instagram. Super cool dude, but all I saw him eat was a block of cheese. like for two and a half days, all I saw this man eat. And he just had, like, it wasn't even, like, sliced or, like, anything. He just was, like, yeah, just, like, and not cutting it in any way, just chewing on it. And, like, I was like, are you just eating cheese, like, this whole time? He's like, yeah, it's kind of all I bring.
He's going to have bathroom problems, too.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of calories, a lot of fat in there. Decent amount of protein,
yeah, just
right?
Straight to it.
Zero,
and then
zero
all
fiber.
He wears for boots.
It just...
And then he wears those, like, knee-high, extra tough, like, neoprene boots. And we're, like, hiking some rugged stuff. And he's fat and eating cheese.
All right.
Hashtag goals.
I don't think I can top that.
I don't know. A tuna fish sandwich is pretty close.
We found a ton of, where I was hunting in Eastern Oregon, there was a definite, like, sardine.
Yeah, I was about to say, I have friends that just take, like, cans of sardines and crackers, calling you who I'm talking about.
Ugh.
Who?
Or Vienna weenies, or however you say it.
He's been on the podcast in the beginnings.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But no, I think it's awesome, though, because it's like, we were on the boat one day. We'd been, like, spearfishing for probably 5.5-6 hours, and he's just like, hey, man, want some sardines? And I'm like, no. It's hot. I'm tired. The last thing I want to eat is, like, sardines. He's like, all right, cool. I found them in my dive bag, so they're a little rusty, but whatever. Like, pops them open and starts eating them. Yes.
I really don't want a salty, tiny fish on a hot boat.
When I've been salty, rolling around
it's
in the water.
Not my idea of fun. Give me a margarita.
Ooh, that's good backpacking food.
You bring a shaker with you? Do you bring...
Colin's got blenders on our next trip.
Did you guys
bring my cocktail shaker next time?
Wait, I need to remember the... So back in the day, back in the very infancy of Harvesting Nature, there was a beer company. They may still be around. Let me look real quick. I don't think they are. Oh, they are! Pat's Backcountry Beverages. If you look them up, they essentially had, if you think about, like, the goop that is like the caffeine goop, you take that goop, you mix it in with water, and they had this special canister. It was like, looked like a water bottle that you put some tabs in that caused carbonation, and you could literally make beer in the backcountry with just like your regular water. And all you had to carry on you were these like little gel tabs of the beer, which they had like ale, pale ale, IPA, like all these other things. And then you could make it, and it was super lightweight versus carrying like a six pack. But I have some of these.
$50 for the kit.
Are they still around?
It's recently. Yeah.
Yeah. I just found them on, this is an article from 2014 from Outside, but they're on Amazon. You can get the 1919 Pale Rail or the Black Hops. It's a brew concentrate. That's pretty cool.
So my only concern, like the one time I took him out with me, and I took him out and I did some photos for him and I sent him back to him. I was up at like 9,000 feet. We had hiked up there to hunt in the Eastern Sierras, and I took this with me. And like on our down day, I was like, all right, I'm going to try one of these. And I was like, I wonder if like alcohol induces altitude sickness or like all these other things. And it started going through my head, and it's just like, I was like, whew. I don't know. This sounds like a really good idea, but I don't know like how far in the backcountry I want to be like sipping these beers.
I think it does. I think like that's like a big rule.
Yeah,
like, you should not be drinking. You probably just get really drunk really fast. Honestly,
yeah. Yeah, I mean that is true as well. That was the other thing.
Don't tell me how to live my life, Ben.
This might be seen as tips for somebody. Yeah. So I was like, all I gotta do, I will wherever that pass is in Colorado. That's like 12,000 feet.
Right.
Park it up there. I'm good. Two beers, then you're good.
You're wasted.
Yeah, so anyway, Pat's Backcountry Beverages, that was a thing. I guess it's still a thing.
I don't know, we looked at the website and it's not active anymore, so.
Well, I still have some. I still have them, I think.
Why did you not bring them to Oregon?
Because they're at like the bottom of my food bin. I didn't even know if they're in the food bin.
Right then, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You're forgiven.
So. Well, when you guys stop in on your way back from Antelope Hunt, I'll give you guys some. You can have them. They're only 7 years old, so no big deal.
I'm sure it's still good.
Yeah. All right, we've digressed very much. So let's move in. All right, let's do top three. We're going to hit a couple recipes and then close out. So top three. We'll just, whoever wants to go first, shout them out.
I'll go. I'm going to start off, I'm going to hit Patagonia because of their sustainable environmental devotion to their sustainable environmental cause, and they also have really good food. I love their mussels, and their salmon's really good, and all the chili and soups that come in there are fantastic. The only downside is that they're a little bit pricey, and they can get a little bit heavy to carry in, but loyal fan. Wild Zora, just based on what Emily and Ryan showed me, because that was delicious. Wasn't salty. Didn't feel like I had like a salt hangover afterwards. Really good. Definitely be looking to buy some here in the future. And then good to go. I think it's modestly priced. It's good quality. It's not too salty. Doesn't take up any more space than any other dehydrated foods. And they got a pretty healthy list of options. Those are my three.
All right. Next. Whoever, shout it out.
I'm just all in with Peak Refuel right now. I like a couple other ones. I guess as I'm looking at the website, I wish they had some more flavors, but I don't think they've been around for particularly long. So I'm sure they will have more flavors, but yeah, and then... two and three would just be like finding the little cheap gems. Mountain House Lasagna is always going to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I guess the best cheap one is that Forever Young for $5.95. I know, and then you get the song stuck in your head for 3 days when you're in the backcountry. It's great.
I'll be the outlier. I'm going to go number one, MREs. Just because I have a ton of experience with them and I know how to mix and match and kind of make my own recipes out of them. And
it's not included.
They come with the heater. They come with Tabasco. There's just so much to them. And then I'm going to go probably Wild Zora second. I love their breakfast stuff, and I'm not a breakfast guy, but I'll eat their breakfast stuff every day. And then the stuff that we brought to Oregon for the lunch and dinners were fantastic. I think, we had six or seven different recipes. I thoroughly enjoyed every one of them. And then I'll go probably Mountain House last.
Ooh, but it made the list.
It did make the list.
Only because we haven't tried Patagonia yet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right.
Patagucci needs to be tried.
Because I actually still have Colin, the black bean soup that you gave me. I still have it. I haven't ate it yet because I'm like, for emergency situations.
If you want to make it, make half of it, because one time I made one of the entire grain packages and I couldn't finish it. It's very filling.
It looks like there's a lot in there.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. It's definitely for two.
Is another fiber issue I'm going to have?
you might have another fiber issue.
Let's see what the fiber content is. Stand by. The whole package is 25 grams, so 13 grams.
Yeah. Ryan, I wanted to add to your MRE thing. Some of them have caffeine gum in them as well, which kind of goes back to our caffeine discussion before. It's just you gotta kind of play the lottery with them sometimes.
If all those fails, you can just dip the coffee too, the coffee grounds, if you don't have water.
Yeah, just put a whole bear claw on those coffee grounds. You'll be good to go.
So much room for opportunity.
It's
there.
A gift that keeps on giving.
Done that before.
All right. Wait. All right, I'll go with mine. So I got, naturally, the top of my list, Mountain House, because I like it. It makes me happy. I'll go number two, Gastronome. So I know you guys haven't had that compare, think about it, but I was pretty impressed both by the food and by their, like, just their organization, their little crew that we interacted with at BHA Rendezvous.
This question, is your logo like a steampunk type of thing? I feel like it should be with a name like Gastronome.
It's a gnome.
A steampunk gnome?
No, it's like a gnome carrying a giant wooden spoon. Yeah. It's cute. I like it. But anyway, and then I'll throw in my number three. I'll go with Wild Zora. Why not? I tasted some of the foods. It's pretty good. I like local. They're local to my hood, and their foods sound great and taste pretty good. And yeah, I like the fact they don't have a lot of sodium.
Well, since we're gonna do another freeze dried meal comparison, y'all's number one picks from whatever brand, let us know. I'll buy them and I'll do a review on them.
Ooh, do we get to do flavors too?
How you mean?
Like, we get to pick our favorite brand and our favorite flavor of the brand?
Yes.
I'm going to crush all of you with MREs.
I'm the one doing the review, not you.
Stand by.
Yes, your number one, like, it doesn't matter, brand and flavor and recipe.
All right, so I put number one as Mountain House. Ryan's got MRE as number one. Ben has Peak Refuel. Colin has Patagonia. Emily, what are your top three?
Well, I mean, I kind of agreed with Ryan, but if I'm going to do this review, though, I'm just going to pick a random outlier of something that I've never tried before. But, yeah, I think...
Risotto.
It's supposed to be good. So the Forever Young mac and cheese, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good. All right. I like it. I got it down. So, and then your other two, you're going to go MRE and Wild Zora. Obviously,
well, I'm
not
gonna
Mountain
House. I'm going to do Wild Zora in front of Ryan's MRE.
Ooh.
Domestic.
What's your number three?
Let's go with Peak Refuel, just because Ben has me convinced that I picked the most worst recipe that they had to try.
Yeah, you did.
I do want to pull another Peak Refuel recipe and try it.
Which one?
So Ben, that's Ben's number one. So the chili.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had
chili mac.
Yeah, because I tried to get three of like similar recipes from the different companies. So I just did chili because almost everybody makes a chili. So I did a Mountain House. I don't think
it's a good comparison tool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's talk about... So I had three recipes I wanted to run through real quick. I don't want to take too long to do it, but... the first one's my own. The recipes, they're the tinfoil meals. That's not really a backpacking food. I consider that of like a day hunt or a day fish or like an opportunity where you're gonna like be out and then come back and be too tired to like cook your own food. So you just kind of prep everything ahead of time and throw it in a tinfoil pack and then either put it in the campfire, the oven, or on the grill and just let it cook. So those are really good. I used to like to do those, and I would even just do them with veggies and stuff. And then if I was out spearfishing, I would bring whatever fish back, and I would cut it up, and I would put it in there. So it definitely saved me. The lemon pepper seafood one was pretty good. The Saskatchewan venison steak, that was pretty good too. Actually, I like all of them because I wrote them, but... Not going to sell you on bad recipes. Another one we have is this one goes back to 2016 over on the Harvesting Nature website. Anyway, so that the tinfoil packs, that's in the show notes. We'll have a link to the website, which has all those in there. Three recipes in one article, so you don't have to click around. The other one, do-it-yourself backcountry dehydrated meals. So this plays into what I was talking about earlier with like dehydrated versus freeze-dried. Almost everything we've talked about thus far has been freeze-dried. I mean, yeah, freeze-dried, not dehydrated, which is interesting. If you wanted to do meals yourself, this article kind of goes through the prep to cook, dehydrate, and vacuum seal your own meals. So I think the
just want to interject. Good to goes are dehydrated.
Are they?
I just checked.
Oh, that's good to know. So that means they have a higher, they still have a higher moisture content than the freeze dried meals. They say generally like freeze dried meals will reduce or will remove 98% of the moisture out of food.
Are you saying that backwards?
Freeze dried.
Yeah, but dehydrated is taking the moisture out of it.
Yep. Freeze-dried will take out 90%. I'm pretty sure. And dehydrated will only take 80.
Hmm.
Let's see.
I got
somebody wants to look it up. Look up dehydrated versus freeze-dried. It was on there. I forgot to put the article on the show notes, but the recipe that we have for the dehydrated meals, DIY dehydrated meals, spaghetti squash. It's got ground venison, marinara sauce, mushrooms, zucchini. They basically bake. Looks like you bake everything, and then you spread out the cooked mixture onto lined dehydrator trays. Set the dehydrator to 140 and cook for 20 to 24 hours. Moving your trays around. Looks like they did 4.8 ounces for one serving, and then you vacuum seal and label and date. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Anyway, on top of that too, Danielle Pruitt did an article over at Meat Eater a while back on... Ryan, you'll like this. Dehydrated venison taco bowls.
Oh, yeah. I already like it.
Yep. It looks pretty good. So that one's like ground venison, onion, bell pepper, breadcrumbs, all this other stuff, instant rice, bouillon, granules, oxygen absorbers. I'm guessing that's for your the actual like bag itself.
So. Yeah, I think those are the little absorbers recently. Silica gel, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the ones you're not supposed to eat.
Yeah, so you do not eat all over them. Yeah.
That's what comes in all the Wild Zora stuff. Yeah. Oxygen absorber. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, they're in, in most dehydrated food packs.
I remember.
In fact, I save them and then I'll put them in jars with like dehydrated mushrooms or jerky and stuff that I make, and I'll just throw them in there too. Just, I don't know, makes sense.
Ooh, that's too. A hot tip.
Hot tip.
Yeah.
Keep those little packs.
We used to put like grains of rice in our salt shakers to keep them from like caking up.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've seen that too. Heard and seen
that. Yeah, no, this is the same concept, like cook and then dehydrate. Or yeah. Dehydrate for 4 to 6 hours. Flip it and then do it again. So
we need to try that. We have a really, we got those really nice the made with meat dehydrators. We need to put to
use. This would be a good test. I feel a recipe in the air.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Nice. Okay.
Dehydrating food eliminates approximately 95% of its moisture content.
Okay, so I was backwards.
And no. Not necessarily. The foods that have been freeze-dried have had up to 99% of their moisture content removed. Yeah. So freeze-dried does take out.
We're looking at the same article, yeah.
The survival solvent.
It's very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, very close. Freeze-dried takes out more than dehydrating, though.
But not by much.
Not by much, yeah.
So, in all reality, if we thought about it, you could, like, you could potentially, if you had the patient skills and ability, you could prepare just about any meal in some sort of manner and with the forethought that you're going to dehydrate it.
The difference is that freeze-drying ovens cost considerably more than a dehydrator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, $3,000 yeah. versus...
So if you want to save that 4% in moisture retention for, I mean, almost $1,800 to $4,300 more, then yeah, go for it. But
That's a good thought, though. But I would also say, too, like, you can't do this with, like, any run-of-the-mill dehydrator. Like, you need to get something that you can set the temperature to and you can, like, safely. Because then you start getting into those whole food safety discussions and all those other things. Like, Now, like, my mind's churning with whether or not I can make really good backpacking food of my own. I'm going off grid, guys.
I looked at buying a freeze dryer right before we went to Oregon, because I was like, these meals are so expensive, I can just make our own. And then I looked at how expensive it was. But it would make sense that if you were, like, big time into prepping or you were going to be doing this a lot like Ben does, like, save up and buy one, and then you can make all your meals and freeze dry them and essentially turns into exactly what you made, whole thing of lasagna, just add some water to it and you got your lasagna back.
Maybe I can make the company finance one for me, since it's
just write it off.
Yeah, we'll no, work on that.
Yeah, but I've been meaning to try just dehydrating my own. I just never got around to it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, let's do a quick round then. Misfires, alibis, last notes. I'll go with Ben.
I got nothing.
All right. Emily?
I got nothing.
Ryan?
I have something.
Yes!
My goodness. nope. Videos are starting to roll out. We've been doing a ton of filming, and so those are rolling out here pretty quick, and stay tuned for the review video that you guys were talking about of the freeze-dried meal comparison showdown. Part deux. We'll get that knocked out here pretty quick. And yeah, pass to Colin.
Yeah, I don't have much else to cover other than what we already talked about. I have a running shopping cart going on both REI and Amazon right now. I'm gonna hit submit right after this. But yeah, I think it was a good talk. Covered a lot of ground that's not really well talked about in terms of backcountry hunting, camping experience.
Yeah. I think it's not as conversed about in the hunting space. I feel like backpackers just like soul, hey, we're going to go out and just hike around for funsies. Like, I feel like that's a more of a conversation, whereas hunters, oftentimes we get hunters and anglers. I won't lump us into silos, but, we have to get very one track on the mission and food, even though that's our primary focus and usually the ends of our means, we usually throw that by the wayside. It's easy to grab a mountain house and a Snickers bar and some instant coffee and go to the field. So, yeah, I hope everybody took it. And, oh, my gosh, I forgot to open with this. We just joined a podcast network. We're now officially a member of the Waypoint I think Waypoint Podcast Network, about 60 other podcasts on here. We're the only food focused one. They have a lot of hunting and fishing and outdoors related stuff, but you're listening to the only food one, which is great. So, and also Antler and Finn are, our wild game audio cookbook is on there as well. And that is, we're going to be updating that. I think what we're going to do is the opposite weeks that we release the Adventures for Foods, we're going to release a new Antler and Finn recipe. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you're subscribed to both. They're on all the podcast platforms, both the Wild Fish and Game and Antler and Finn. You can find them both the same place. Just hit that search button, type them in. Outside of that, I thought a really great episode. I really enjoyed talking about all the different dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. I think there's a lot to learn in this space. There's a lot of people trying to do good things. There's a lot of people just doing things, and there's a lot of people eating things. And wherever you fit in that sphere, think about what you're shoveling into your face when you're out in the backcountry, and you'll probably enjoy your time a little more. But I will encourage you, make sure you're following The Way We Hunt over on social media. Make sure you're following Harvest in Nature, checking out all the great things that we're doing. And whatever podcast platform you're listening to, punch that 5-star button. Leave us a review. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Or, you know, tell us what we're doing right. We'd love to hear it. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Go out there and the fish are where you think they are. Any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.